Welcome to One More Chapter. I'm Brian Rex Davis, editor of Action Magazine, and I'll be your guide as together we rediscover ancient wisdom for today's challenges. Paul wrote an interesting passage, an ancient text from the New Testament in the first century concerning the struggle that he identified as he looked within his own heart, as he was trying to live in to the Christian faith, as he was trying to grow into the maturity of Christ. He says in the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 21 through 25, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of sin and death? In this passage, you might recognize something that many of us as Christians reflect on, that constant tug of war between our inclination to do our own will versus submitting and willfully bowing before the will of God. Chapter 1, Restoration, Part 3. We have been looking at this word restoration in the ancient texts of the New Testament for the last three episodes. And today, we want to go one step further at looking at the definition of this word restoration, as three different words are used in Scripture in the New Testament with different facets, just like looking at a diamond from three different angles. You see its beauty richer and richer as you look at it from its different facets. In the same way, as we look at this word restoration and what is translated into our language, the term restoration, we look back at the meanings of these words and we see the depth that this word restoration brings to our understanding of the will of Christ in Christianity today. As we look into our own nature, as we look into our own inclinations, and we recognize this tug of war, we often find ourselves crying out, just like the Apostle Paul, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? The question in restoration is restoration truly possible? Now, as we look at this word restoration, many people will say, well, I'm familiar with the Reformation history within Christianity. What does the word restoration mean in comparison to this word reformation? Well, that's an interesting question. The word reform means to take whatever is existing in its present state and tweak it a little bit and see if some reforms might not make a few things better. That word is not the word used in the New Testament. The word used in the New Testament is restore. And so restoration is far more radical than reformation. Rather than tweaking things, the word restoration is used in the New Testament to refer, first of all, to what God is doing in our lives, not just tweaking something that is sadly broken and sadly sinful, but truly, completely restoring us to our original purpose and our original functionality. And that is a very hopeful and beautiful thought indeed. In fact, let's read an ancient text from the book of 1 Peter. Now, 1 Peter would have been written by the Apostle Peter in his latter life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, and we're going to see the third place that this word restoration comes up in the ancient texts of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6, reads, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Now, just right off the bat, we see a continuity between what we studied previously in our previous episodes concerning restoration and what we're seeing the Apostle Paul speak to us about in terms of restoration. Remember, all of the teachings of Christ come with two major principles: something to believe or to behave, and some ethic, some way of behaving, the why we behave a certain way, the why we believe a certain thing. And so belief and ethic happens in every case. And here, right out of the gate, Peter is saying, start with the ethic of humility. And we have seen that when it comes to restoration, humility is a starting point. You come to Christ with a poverty of spirit. Only in poverty of spirit are we in the right posture to come before an all-perfect Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness, to where the great gift of his perfect blood can cleanse us of our sin debt, to where we can once again come into a spiritual life with God who created us. So in verse 6, Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Verse 7, "Casting all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that at the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So here is the other passage where we see a third facet to this beautiful concept of restoration. Yet in delving into the meaning of this word and the etymology of this word used here in the New Testament, it is a word that has the connotation that is going to be actually the most challenging connotation for us as human beings that we have ever experienced with this particular word, restoration. And that is the context of perfection. In fact, some translations of the New Testament will use the word, "Christ will himself perfect you." This restoration is at a level where it will restore us to such a quality of life, to such a condition, that there will be no difference between the time that we were created and the time that we needed to be restored. And thus, it gives us hope to answer the struggle that the Apostle Paul was having in the book of Romans when he said, "Wretched man that I am, I see in my inner person a desire to obey God, but in my physical person, there's this tug of war of me to follow the desires of the flesh, to follow the greeds of my spirit, to do what I want to do rather than what God wants me to do. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Well, Jesus is the answer to who will deliver me from that tug of war. And ultimately, if I place my trust in him, if I am reborn by obeying his gospel, believing that he is the Son of God, repenting of a self-willed, sinful lifestyle, confessing that he's going to be my Lord, I'm going to give my allegiance to him, and obediently being baptized, immersed into water, symbolizing the death, burial, and resurrection that Jesus did for me, in my own experience now in being baptized, I receive in that water of baptism the very promise of Jesus to be born anew, to be renewed, to be restored into that original person, into that beautiful child of God, sinless. And if I walk this life faithful to that allegiance I've given to Jesus, then one day Jesus is going to perfect me to where I will no longer experience the tug of war that is a reality for all of us who live in this world, for all of us who are growing in Christ. You know, as Christians, we have good days and we have bad days. We have days where we are really strong in our faith, and we have other days that we are weak in our faith. We struggle, and sometimes we sin and make mistakes that we don't want to do. But Jesus' promise is good with His grace to continually offer us forgiveness if we live a penitent life. If we are sorry for those mistakes and keep faithfully trying to follow Him, then we are safe in that environment of grace, in His church family. We can pursue restoration. And that's one of the principles about restoration that is something that is uncomfortable to realize. Restoration isn't something that you ultimately achieve in this life, on this earth. Rather, it is a process we're always pursuing. That's why it takes great humility to believe in and to behave in such a way and to pursue this principle of restoration as a Christian. We know that what God did through Jesus was perfect. We know that His blood was perfectly effective to wash away our sins. But we also look at our own weaknesses, our frailties, and our struggles, our tug of wars with our flesh, our worldly body, our worldly desires, and we know we're not always what we should be. We're not always what we hope to be. But in the grace of Christ, as long as we are faithful, that forgiveness continues to wash us clean. And we continue to grow and strive so that we mature. Just as a child growing up in a family, we constantly mature and grow. But one day, we have a sure promise that Peter shared with us, that this restoration will be utterly perfected. We will be transferred from this physical body into our spiritual body after this physical body dies. And if we die in faith, Christ will perfect us, confirm us, strengthen and establish us for eternity, where there will be no more struggle with sin, there will be no more struggle with our frailties. And that promise of that level of restoration keeps all of us as we live on this earth, as we struggle with this body, to continually pursue this great principle and this great doctrine of restoration. The gentleman who shared the gospel with my family was actually the second president of World Bible School. His name was Ruel Lemons. He's passed on now. But Brother Lemons shared the gospel with my grandparents many years ago. And as he taught them the gospel, they considered their lives and they decided to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They decided to repent. They decided to confess that Jesus would be their Lord going forward. And then Brother Lemons took them down into a river in the state of Arkansas in the United States on a cold, chilly day and baptized my two grandparents and two of my oldest uncles into Christ. And thus my entire family came into a knowledge of and a fellowship with the family of God in Christ, the Church of Christ. I got to meet Ruel Lemons one time before he passed away. I was a student in college in the state of Tennessee, and I was on a student committee organizing a lectureship, and we had invited Brother Lemons to come and share the Word of God with us. It was a conference of students, And there were 2,000 students from different universities, Christian universities around the United States, who had gathered to consider the mission of Christ on earth. It was called the World Mission Workshop. And he came to inspire and to encourage us to pursue the mission of Christ in our world. And I'll never forget what he shared with us. He was quite old at the time, and he came out, and he had a very unique way of speaking that captured your attention. And as we, as young students in our 20s, were sitting there 2,000 strong, he looked at us straight in the eyes, and he said, "You young people are the inheritors of a great restoration movement, where very courageous people looked at their religious lives, they looked at the division in Christianity, they looked at how they were adding man-made teachings to Christendom, and thus departing from what was written, going beyond what was written, and in some cases, great arrogance had divided Christianity in the United States. And in the latter 1700s, many people began looking at their own Christian walk and decided to pursue this principle of restoration, leaving man-made doctrines and returning simply to what was written in the Word of Christ. Simply going back to that original source and wanting to conform our beliefs and our behaviors to what Jesus wrote and what his apostles wrote through his delegated authority for us to believe and to obey. Many of us whose parents also pursued that process of restoration, that lifelong struggle to be restored to the original teachings of the Bible, many of us students were inheritors of that great history. But then Roe Lemons pointed his finger at us and said, "Don't think for a minute that you can sit back on your parents' laurels and simply relax and enjoy restoration for yourselves as if it's an already accomplished fact and you don't have to put effort in yourself." He said, "No, that's not how this teaching of restoration in the New Testament works. Every generation is challenged with these principles of restoration, of having Jesus restore us to a good spiritual health, of having Jesus call us into being his people, spiritual Israel in the world today, and pressing on with a faithful Christian walk, a walk in mission with Christ that ultimately one day will receive the promise of total perfection as we die in the faith and Jesus then in our life after death perfects us where there will be no more of these struggles to walk on the spiritual biblical path rather than sliding off into the left ditch or into the right ditch, which is not only spiritually unhealthy, but ultimately leads to spiritual death, worldly ways of living. And so restoration is an ongoing effort if we are alive today on this earth. We need to constantly strive for it. There's another great teacher in the church that did a great service to the church when he was a professional historian, but he's also an elder in the church, and he wrote many of his historical findings. One, I have brought a copy of his book. It's no longer in publication, I don't believe, but many copies are still available in used bookstores that you can access online. But it was a book written by Brother Monroe Hawley, elder in the church, a professional historian. It's called The Focus of Our Faith. And in this small book, he outlines a number of times in modern history, the history of the Church of Christ over the last 2,000 years, where as people slid off the Bible road into the left ditch or into the right ditch, they have had the courage to look up and look back to the original source of Scripture and begin the process of restoration. Not only letting Jesus restore them through his gospel plan of salvation, but then pursuing a lifetime of restoration as the people of God, simply trying to be New Testament Christians and pattern the church after what is taught in the New Testament scriptures. And finally, dying faithful in the Lord so that you can ultimately be perfected. And of course, the focus of our faith talks about how through all of that process, a Christian must keep their eyes on Jesus, the focus of our faith, in order to live out this doctrine of restoration and experience the great blessings therein. He wrote a book prior to that book where he explored the doctrine of restoration in a book that he entitled Redigging the Wells. This is a phrase taken out of the Old Testament, ancient texts in the Old Testament, where people had to redig wells that had filled in. Well, in our religious walk, quite often, man-made teachings fill in the pure well water and the pure wells where we can have sustenance for our lives. And so Brother Hawley used this imagery of having to redig the ancient wells in order to get back to that original source of the revealed will of God as preserved in his Bible, as preserved for us as Christians in his New Testament. And so I hope you will check out those two books. They have been a blessing to my life, and it helps one study further in this concept of the doctrine of restoration. Today, and it's probably true of any movement of restoration. Brother Hawley identified about 20 times in history over the last 2,000 years where there was any scrap of history that recorded a people going back to the Bible, rejecting man-made teachings and going back to that pure source. He identified about 20 instances over the last 2,000 years where there's indication of that happening. Now, in some cases, we don't have much of a record in modern church history about that because people who had the courage to do that were often persecuted by larger religious entities. And so many of them were wiped out, and so perhaps only one or two writings were left. But it does give me great encouragement that over the last 2,000 years, there have been people of great courage that take up the task of pursuing restoration, letting Jesus restore us by following his plan of salvation, then participating in the people of God in a movement of restoration to be simply New Testament Christians under the kingship of Christ, all the way till that day that we pass from this life in faithfulness to be absolutely perfectly restored, as we have seen in the scriptures written by Peter for us today. But in all of these movements, sometimes movements take off. They have great energy. They have great fire. They have great zeal. But as they grow, many people take for granted the experience of restoration. In fact, many people become experts on a restoration movement, and they begin getting deep into the weeds of the history. And they especially like looking at the failures of human beings to live up to the high calling of Christ, to the to that high bar of unity that he calls for in his prayer in John 17. And so many experts begin denigrating restoration movements, saying, no, a restoration movement is a historical anomaly, and look at all the failures that people did in that, and so obviously that was a bad path. That didn't work. But you see what's happening there. Experts are looking at human frailties rather than looking at the original source of the aspirations and the instructions, not only on our beliefs, but also our ethics concerning the doctrine of restoration. If we look at the frailties of human beings, we're always going to be disappointed. But if we look at what Jesus says is possible, and we choose to believe it, then and only then can we begin experiencing the blessings and the promises that come by faith in what Jesus teaches. We have spent 3 episodes looking at his teaching of restoration, from the prophecy given about John the Baptist to the prophecies about Jesus restoring the tent of David to Peter saying that Jesus will himself perfect us one day beyond the grave. Restoration is a biblical doctrine. It has promises associated with it. It has practices associated with it, and it has ethics of why we believe and why we do what we do to pursue a life of restoration. Another great historian, J.M. Powell, he wrote a book, again, not in publication, I don't believe, anymore, but certainly available in used bookstores online, called The Cause We Plead. And it is a history of a restoration movement in the United States that did begin in the 1700s. It is one example of how a people can rise up, being sensitive to the doctrine of restoration, and begin changing lives and changing generations and changing the world through the promises associated with this beautiful teaching in the New Testament. And so I hope you will check that book out as well, especially if you're interested in learning of a historical example of how people living out this principle of restoration can really impact our world for good. Restoration is not just an historical anomaly. It is not just a failure for unity of mankind. Restoration is a teaching of Jesus Christ, preserved in his New Testament. And it, if we will approach it with faith, with belief, and in the right ethic, believing about it for the right reasons and in the right way, always beginning with humility, then this great teaching will bless our lives. It will bless our churches. It will bless our families from generation to generation. It has certainly blessed my life that way. It has blessed my family that way. And that is our prayer for you as well. Chapter 2. Our sponsors offer studies for continued in-depth study of topics like this. And as I mentioned in our episode last time, World Bible School, as one of our sponsors, offers study courses that help you to go deeper into the studies that we discuss on this podcast. I mentioned last time that one of the newest courses in the World Bible School courses is called A History of God's People. It demonstrates how God has been working through people in history to accomplish his will. And even though the last passage of the New Testament may end in the first century AD, Christ's church is still alive today. And Christ's church has been living and growing and serving for the last 2,000 years. And so that history, although fraught with great human failures, fraught with division, fraught with challenges, that history is true. But that history of man's failings does not minimize the promises of God concerning his teachings today. It does not minimize the blessings that come to mankind if we, in faith, pursue Jesus' teachings and, in faith, pursue a life of restoration. And so the last half of this book gives you great understanding of what has been going on in church history in modern years and great hope that indeed you can experience all the blessings in Christ of being restored to the Father through Jesus' blood, of being restored in the tent of David as the church of Christ today, the children of Israel spiritually today. And you can have all the hope that comes with a promise of God that when you pass from this life, you will be perfected and no longer struggle with what we struggle with in this life. Also, in Action Magazine, we always want to let you know, I'm the editor of Action Magazine, and in this periodical, further in-depth Bible studies are shared from church leaders around the globe. Life-changing stories are shared that will encourage you and lift you up. And tools of Bible study and Bible sharing will be offered in this magazine that will be truly transformative for your faith, because a life of restoration is not passive. It's not just you receiving something, but it's you participating in a lifestyle of restoration that will not only bless you, it will bless your family and the rest of the world as well. Chapter 3. We do value your questions and comments. Please feel free to make those in the comment section below. But in recap of what we've looked at today, Jesus promises restoration in its perfect form if we but remain faithful until the end. We should seek to go back to the Bible, the source of truth, both individually and as churches. We must do this with great humility in order to live into the restoration teachings of Jesus Christ. In our next episode, we will recap and round out our understanding of the wisdom of restoration and why it is such an important and dynamic promise of God and teaching of God for us to pursue in our lives as we grow into the fullness of Christ. I'm Brian Rex Davis, and we have been exploring ancient wisdom for our challenges that we face in our world today. See you next time.